Thank you. All right, let's get started. So we're going to talk about traveling, making money, and short-term rental today. But first, I want to know a little bit about all of you guys. So I want you guys to raise your hand if this is true for you guys. So first question, who here likes money? I hope that's everyone. Keep your hands up if you also like to travel. I love how everyone's like, so apparently we like traveling more than we like money. All right, so for you, those of you guys, how many of you guys already own short-term rentals? So my question to the rest of you guys, if you like money and you like to travel and you like to make money while you're traveling, why don't you own short-term rentals already? Yeah, so save those questions. So I want you guys to imagine that you are enjoying this beautiful sunset in Amed, Bali, Indonesia. And imagine you're making a couple thousand dollars just in your inbox, casually, while you're sipping your favorite beverage of choice. And guess what? Today I'm going to show you exactly how to do just that. So here, today we're also going to learn how you can turn $12,000 down payment into at least $25,000 net rental profit. That's net, not gross, rental profit, every single year for the rest of your life. And that's just with one short-term rental. So you can see here that this is actually a pay stub to my mortgage holder. It is about $600 PITI, and I paid about $12,000 in terms of down payment at closing. So this is my closing disclosure. And for those of you guys who could not see here on the left-hand side, it's a five-day booking for this particular condo. It's a ski condo, and it's about $2,000 payout for just one ski condo. And so for those of you guys who like to do the math, $2,000 booking for a five-night stay, that already paid for one-sixth of my down payment. And just one or two-night stay every single month will pay for my mortgage. So more questions about you guys. So I want you guys to ask your neighbor these questions. So start making eye contact with someone around the room and scoot closer to them. Introduce yourself. Wait, one second. There are three questions. What would you do? First question. What would you do if you did not have to worry about money anymore? If you can be anywhere in the world? Give me 1 second, guys. Second question is, what is your travel style? And I want you to be as specific as possible. Here are some of the things I want you to talk about. Go into what kind of linens, what kind of amenities, hotels, kitchen gadgets that you like to use, etc. And then, in one or two sentences, what are the most common arguments that you have against or someone you heard of talking about short-term rentals have against short-term rental investing? And I actually heard some of you guys already mention some of those when I asked you guys, why haven't you started with SCR investing today? So go ahead. I'm going to set a timer for 2 minutes and talk amongst yourselves. You will share this. Thank you. Please wrap up. Please wrap up. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. All right. So I want you guys to answer. I want you guys to give me your answer for the first question. And by the way, I have a door prize. So for the most interesting question, or rather the most interesting response, someone will get this, I don't know what this wine is, a beverage, Napa Valley. I'm not a drinker, guys, so I don't, but someone will get a beverage, a wine, and for the most interesting response to one or two. So go ahead and volunteer. So for number two, I actually want you to give me your partner's answer if you think that they have a really interesting response. So pick one. Do you want to answer the question number one about yourself? Do you want to answer number two about your neighbor? So for the first one, does anyone have any answers?
So for number one, we would like to travel, so we would like to have an Airbnb every place we like to go to and go there when we want and monetize it when we're not there. And some of those places are Maine, Ireland, Arizona, Colorado. So that's kind of our, that's what we would do if we didn't have to worry about money and the money just flowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then my partner here and I actually have something similar. He and I both like the action of the city, whereas our spouses or others like kind of the calm beach, sit in the lawn chair and sip on something, you know?
Beach destinations.
Yeah. So kind of being where you can get the remote, but you're not more than 30 minutes from the activity, so both of you can enjoy that vacation.
Got it.
And we're both in this. We both had the same experience.
That's great. So once again, guys, I want you guys to be as specific as possible for number two. So if you want to talk about whether you're flying in, you're driving in, you like hot tubs, you like fancy linens, shampoos are really fancy, that makes your hair smell good. All those things are great. So go ahead.
Mine is very specific. I want to sit in the middle of Yellowstone National Park and just watch the buffalo, bison all day.
And what steps are you... Is that for number two?
That's for number two. So my destination is, yeah, South Dakota, Montana. Yeah.
Amazing.
Be in the middle of nowhere.
That's great. Go ahead.
Oh,
okay.
And how big the bison.
Oh, so that was the height of the bison. Got it. Go ahead. In the green shirt.
I'm a fishing tournament angler, and I travel with other guys, so we need rooms or houses that have a lot of rooms for 3, 4, 5 teams. Need room to park our equipment, our boats, and have outside access to be able to charge batteries. And we like it to be comfortable and kind of off the beaten path, you know, after we've been on the water all day.
So by comfortable, what do you mean?
Something that's relaxing. Maybe something that would have a scenery or something on the water, but you know, not like a condo. It would have to be like a more of like a single family home, but something with a little bit of property where you're not up against the neighbor.
So you're looking for a vacation rental with plenty of beds to sleep everyone with a water view.
Similar, yeah. But then you have to have a lot of outside parking because every you're going to have 5 trucks and boat trailers and that kind of stuff too. So
plenty of parking.
Yeah.
Okay. Pink shirt.
If I had to worry about money, I would dump it all into SpaceX, and I would get $1,000. It's there now, but I know it's mountains. I would definitely be flying. It would be interplanetary.
You get the one at the end of the presentation. Yeah. Great, green in the back.
My buddy just has a bidet.
So you're very eco-friendly. Got it. Go ahead.
My partner, what he said that was interesting is he wanted to drive his destination, which makes his family, like his brother and sister, beaches near the water because he was in the Navy, but he wanted amazing food, no chain restaurants, and he wanted a limo driver to give him where he was going to. And I thought that was really awesome.
Very, very cool.
First one is going to be something really silly. I would hire a maid, so I have it in the house.
She will hire a maid. So guess what? With short-term rentals, if you rent out the other units, you get a maid. Go. Go ahead.
And for the guys here that I'm here with, they kind of mountain views. They like to drive because they like to do the road tripping and get to do all the lakes and things like that.
Got it.
Yeah, if money is not a struggle, then I'm going to do the space travel.
Yes.
I also have an experience of the low gravity experience. Actually, after we married, that's my husband, and once I have a dream, is we travel to outer space, and then our spaceship get grounded and have some problems. And then needed people to help, and I asked them, what kind of help needed? They said, I needed someone to do the math. And I said, this is the guy. That's my dream. So.
Awesome.
Okay.
One more.
A villa in Tuscany.
Very specific, a villa in Tuscany. Why? Can you be a little more specific about what kind of villa?
It has to be big. It has to accommodate at least five couples.
Five couples.
It has to be fairly close to wine. It has to be close to great food, and we can hire a cook to cook for us.
Oh, private chef. Bougie. All right, so the reason I asked you guys to provide this exercise is because a lot of you guys mentioned walkability to great bars and restaurants. Some of you guys mentioned a large enough property to sleep enough people at once, which is one of the reasons why while some people say, what about hotels? Well, most hotels, you cannot sleep such a large group. Most hotels will not offer you private chefs. There's a lot of hotels out there that do not have mountain views or oceanfront views, although there's some that do. And so is anyone really, really picky about either their linens or their mattress? If you are, raise your hand. So for those of you guys who are getting started in short-term rentals, you should have looked around the room and take inventory of people who care about quality, because these are the people who don't mind paying an extra $50, $100 a night if they get exactly what they want, if they are able to get that private chef, if they're able to have that nice linen, if they're able to have a really clean and updated place. And guess what? If you only have 2 to 3 weeks out of every single year to take in a vacation, your mentality is different than when you're shopping for your long-term rental to rent out. You're not thinking as much about, you know what, how much am I paying for rent versus how much is this listing renting for versus in the listing right next door. You're thinking about, I'm only getting 2 weeks out of every single year to enjoy myself. I can afford to get a place that's a little bit nicer. I'm going to go out. I'm going to spoil my wife, my girlfriend, or I'm going to make sure that we have the nicest honeymoon ever. And the reason I'm bringing up this point is because I think a lot of people in the room who are long-term rental investors, they're thinking, what is the market rent for a short-term rental? And I'm here to tell you there's no such thing as market rent. here. Because if you have a really unique stay, such as a treehouse, a yurt, or something with really nice linens, really nice finishes, you can charge a lot more than your competitors right down the street that is the same sort of, you know, three bedroom, two bath, but they're not as nicely updated. They don't have additional customer service that you're able to provide, and they don't have the same type of linens. You don't think about linens or shampoo or usability of your rental when you're thinking about long-term rentals. Here, you're running the world's smallest hotel, and all those things matter. So, last question. In one or two sentences, what are some common arguments against short-term rental investing? Go ahead.
Nobody's
going to
want to stay there
off-season. Seasonality. Got it.
The charters are going to have to tear it up. Pay the bucks, clean up, and get it done for the next
time. Time
maintenance. Liability?
Can you clarify?
Maybe just complaining tenants who maybe invent things, and then somehow I've got to be responsible for things. Hospitality.
So liability. So basically, you're worried about me getting sued, or
sure.
Okay.
Adequate demand for what you have.
How to determine demand, or
whether there's enough demand.
Whether there's enough demand. Okay, got it.
Having to have more hands-on management to keep it more
business
hospitality standards versus having nice off-hand management with long-term rentals.
So more hands-on with short-term rentals. You don't want the hassle.
No guarantee that it's profitable, that it can be rented out each week.
There's no guarantee, once again, between seasons, right?
Well, not between seasons, just year-round.
Year-round, yeah.
That you rent it to two and six or seven or eight show up. So, you know, what the contract allowed for, and yet what the people actually brought in, it's still liability. But
right. So when someone booked for two, but all of a sudden eight people shows up, right? Okay.
Government regulations changing
on regulations. One more. Yes.
Managing like the turns, especially for properties that aren't close to where you're located.
Figuring out turnovers. All right, so tell me how I did on the right-hand side. These are some of the common arguments on the right-hand side against short-term rentals. One is more upfront costs because a lot of you guys may not be certain that you're actually going to make money. Why do you want to spend a couple thousand dollars setting up and all that additional time to set up a short-term rental when you don't know for sure? Well, I'm here to tell you guys that you're able to know exactly what the market median for short-term rental revenue is. Once again, it's a market median. And as our earlier exercise demonstrates, you can absolutely surpass the median by at least 2x if you get certain things right. Another is a lot, I hear this all the time, is, you know what, you're saying you have higher gross rental revenue, but you're netting about the same. And if I'm going to net the same, I might as well just keep it as a long-term rental. Here, we're going to go over several examples in very, very different markets to show you exactly why that's not the case. The third one, I feel like a lot of people today, all the answers were in three and four, which is one is seen as riskier. There's a lot more regulatory risk. What if the government shuts me down? Or what if the guest breaks my bed and my sofa? Or what if no one books my property off season? And then finally, is seen as higher maintenance. So maybe you don't want to deal with constant turnover. Or maybe you don't want to constantly communicate with your guests. You don't want to figure out the customer service piece of it. But first, today, we're also going to talk about the common pros. If you're coughing, can you get some water, or do you need water, or?
Thank you. I just took some.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the common pros of short-term rentals, such as greater cash flow, this is one of my favorite reasons for SCRs. Also one of my favorite reasons, guess what? All your trips to your short-term rental, that's tax deductible. So your beach house, all those trips to the beach, guess what? Ability to use technology and data to crush your competition. This is one of my favorite parts because I love data and I love tech. Flexibility. You can adapt your SCR investing strategy based on your lifestyle. Greater location independence because unlike a flip, you do not have to be physically there all the time. No need to chase down late payments because if people don't pay, they don't stay. And also in most states, not all, but most states, you don't have to deal with evictions. There's what's called the innkeeper's rights. Once again, check with your local state real estate attorney to see what your state's rules are. But in most states, you don't have to deal with evictions because the landlord-tenant laws do not apply to short-term rentals. Secondary home financing, really powerful. If you're able to qualify for conventional mortgages, you're able to buy your dream beach house or your ski condo with just 10% down. And guess what? You're 100% able to tell your lender that this is exactly what you're doing, and they'll still give you a secondary home loan. And ability to combine with other strategies, which we'll talk about later. So this is everything we're going to talk about today. We've just gone through the primary questions. I'm going to talk a little bit about who I am and why I'm standing before you today. And then we're going to talk about all the cool things I love about short-term rentals. And then we're going to address the common arguments against short-term rentals. And then we're going to have, so based on timing issues, I'm going to have the Q&A in the back of the room where those lovely people are sitting to take additional questions at the end of the session. And there you can ask me about multifamily SCRs and hotel SCRs, which is what I'm doing as of 2021. So a lot of you guys are here because you're interested in learning more about short-term rentals and the step-by-step blueprint for exactly how to do this. Well, 90 minutes is a short amount of time, and I will try to get through as much content as possible, but what I learned the last many, many years of SCR operations, I can't tell you everything I have to know. And you need to know to make sure you're making the right investment decision in just 90 minutes. So in the back of the room, there's a lot of people who you can get more information about this particular course. And as a bonus for all you guys today, this is not on my site. You get 2 hours of Q&A. That's group Zoom sessions. You also get a one-on-one consultation with your personal situation after you have watched the course. This is not anywhere else. This is special to those of you guys who are with me today. So once again, back of the room, I'll also be at the bookstore, and you can also get it on the convention website. So let's get started. So who am I? So the introduction, I was actually also a former engineer, a failed engineer, I would say, because I set a Petri dish on fire. And I decided that I'm not good for biotech research. I went to law school. I practiced at two nationally recognized law firms, and then I decided I want to get into real estate investing, and I love short-term rentals because I love to travel. I teach a seminar, and then I own the largest SDR investor Facebook group. And we are moving into multifamily short-term rentals as well as hotels. So I didn't always start that way. I was always really extra, as you can see on the left. But when I first moved here, we barely had enough money to make ends meet. We still thought we have made it because guess what? This is a series of about 200 photos that my family took in front of this used Mazda, and we sent it to everyone back home in China. Guess what? We made it, guys. We own a car just because we want to have a car. And that's my bow haircut, by the way. So that's me. So move fast forward to today. We are under contract for two hotels and one multifamily. We own one short-term rental multifamily and about seven additional short-term rentals on top of that. So let's get started on why I love short-term rentals and why you should get started. If you didn't raise your hand when I asked the room, do you own short-term rentals? Guess what? I'm about to convince you why you should start today. So, quick question for someone in the room. What is the 1% rule? Someone raise it in the back. Yes, your monthly rent should be 1% of your initial acquisition price. So, by a show of hands, who thinks that the 1% rule is hard to achieve in the current market conditions right now?
Are you talking long term or short term rent?
Good question. Both.
Long-term, no. Short-term, yes.
Great. He's cheating. But anyway, so who thinks appreciation and cash flow is hard to achieve in the same market? So the great thing about short-term rentals, such as this gentleman suggested in the front, is that you are able to way surpass the 1% rule. We'll have many examples today where we're achieving 2, 3, 4% of your initial acquisition price. And also the great thing about short-term rentals is that in these super hot markets such as Phoenix, Raleigh, and Austin, Texas, which, by the way, I'm based out of Austin, you can actually get cash flow in these high appreciation markets. So I know a lot of investors who have resorted to doing corporate rentals and short-term rentals in these highly appreciating markets because long-term rentals no longer cash flows. Very powerful strategies. So as a further illustration, for those of you guys who cannot see in the back, this is one of my beach condos. It was one of my first ever baby SCR. I put 25% down. I was projected on AirDNA, which we will go into detail later. It's a data analytics tool. It showed that I was going to get around $36,000 a year, which is about $3,000 a month. My actual revenue turned out to be $41,000 a year, my first year of operations. So, way, way higher than the 1% rule. That's 3%. So, the ski condo, it's walking distance to the ski lifts. This is where I use my 10% down strategy with secondary home financing. And it was projecting a whopping 70 grand a year. I thought I won the lottery when I found something where the acquisition price is 95 grand. And I'm supposed to get 70K a year. Is that too good to be true? It was. Because guess what? 2020, I bought this, I think, fall of 2019. I listed it December of 2019. Boom, boom, boom. Tons of bookings. Ski season was going great. What happened in 2020? COVID-19. And the state of New Mexico was one of the most shut down states in the entire USA. But guess what? Even though I got about 50% of what the projected income was going to be, I still got on average about $2,600 a month of rental income, which means I'm at a 2.8% of acquisition price. And by the way, I sold this condo because I'm getting into short-term rental multifamilies. I offloaded some of my short-term rentals, and I was able to sell it for 1.5 years later for $250. I actually did the same thing. I bought another one in April 2020 because I was crazy in the middle of COVID. And this is the pictures that you're seeing before and after on the left-hand side of the ski condo number 2. And I sold it for $250K again. And this, by the way, a lot of you guys are interested in rental arbitrage. And if you know what that is, it's basically taking a long-term rental by signing a 1 to 2 year lease and then renting it out on Airbnb and VRBO as short-term rental, and you make that spread. But guess what? If you dish rental arbitrage in this market, yes, you will cash flow. But guess what? You're going to miss out on all the other benefits of real estate, such as appreciation. Another example, this time in Austin, Texas. Everyone wants to get into Austin, but it's really hard to cash flow Austin, Texas right now. This client, he had this rental that was getting less than $3,000 a month in rental income in Austin. He came to me. He asked me, should I turn this into a short-term rental? And if this is you, you should not be guessing whether or not you're going to make money by converting it. You should be able to use these tools available to you to know exactly how much money you should be able to make. So this particular very, very humble 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath house is projecting a gross revenue of $88K a year. And so going to this chart, short-term rental, occupancy, 56%. That scares a lot of long-term rental investors. What? 56? But guess what? I'm grossing $6,600 a month versus a monthly gross rental income of $2,800. And I'm netting $43,000 a year versus a measly $4,000. That's 10x the NOI. So we did a calculation. If he just kept it as a long-term rental, he will miss out on $1.5 million over the course of 30 years. Think about all your long-term rental investors out there. Think about how much money you're leaving on the table by being afraid to enter the short-term rental market. Which is scarier, figuring out the in and out of short-term rentals or missing out on $1.5 million per property? So another thing I really like about short-term rentals is because all the booking decisions are happening online. It gives us a really large amount of data that we can use. I love data. We invest based on data. We invest on data when we invest numbers on a spreadsheet. So here, we're able to use this data based on tourism, as well as where the STRs are making money around the country. We're able to define underserved markets. We're also able to use data to automatically set our pricing, which is called dynamic pricing in the industry. We are also able to use technology by understanding how Airbnb algorithms work to land on page one of search results. Because guess what? In SEO world, if people can't find you, you don't make any money. Finally, good photography and good decor and furnishings. If you saw a property that is dimly lit and crappy photography, you will probably not want to book there. It doesn't matter if it says luxury on the listing. It doesn't matter if it's walkable to the bars and restaurants. You don't feel comfortable if it doesn't have the right decor and furnishings. So here are some nice data. So on the left-hand side, you can see that even though my nightly rate was approximately the same as the market for this particular condo, mine's 138, market median's 137. This is a screenshot of Airbnb before they changed the dashboard. So you can see that my occupancy rate was 95% versus the market average of 52%. And you can also see that here on the bottom left, I'm constantly outperforming my market. So go back to that, imagine back to that slide where I was talking about the market median rent. Guess what? I'm making at least about 1.5x what my market is making every single month. I love that meme. I'm glad you guys enjoy it too. So how am I doing this? Well, that's where technology comes in. You can see here, once again, the screenshot of the Airbnb dashboard. This is what's called first page impressions. Now, I'm getting about 3x what my competitors are getting in first page impressions. It's about 1,700 for me and my listing versus about 500 for the market median, which is basically saying that I'm landing on the first page of Airbnb search results about 3x more than my competitors. Yesterday when I gave this presentation, someone asked me, how are you able to do this? She thought I was paying for advertising with Airbnb because, with Google, you can pay to land on for page one. That's incorrect. I didn't pay for this. This is me optimizing my listing so it shows up on page one more often than my competitors. And if you understand this one point, you're going to crush your competition in any of the markets that you guys are analyzing. And also, speaking of data, here's a couple really interesting points. Since in 2020, about 60% of the domestic U.S. bookings were for trips within 300 miles of its origin. What does that mean? As an investment group, we are looking at vacation rental destinations within 2-3 hours driving distance from booming metropolis. So what's 2-3 hours from Austin, from Phoenix, from Denver, from Tampa, and et cetera. What's also interesting during COVID was that cabins were one of the most searched for listing types for trips. And I thought that was really interesting. You can see that this is a search Google Trends chart of the interest over time for the search term cabin. You can see that it went way up because of COVID-19. I guess everyone wanted to be antisocial and stay very far away from everyone else. And cabin was one of those words that just sounded really remote. What does that mean? Should you be investing in cabins? Maybe. Also, for those of you guys who think that short-term rentals have taken a huge hit due to COVID-19, guess what? Since April 2021, occupancy has been the highest occupancy level in the industry's history. We're here to stay. And in small cities and rural markets, 67% listing nights were sold in 2021 than 2019. 25% more demand in resort destinations such as mountain, lakes, and coastal regions. 8% demand growth in mid-sized cities. The largest hit, in fact, was just for urban destinations for short-term rentals. But that is because of COVID-19. Of course, business travel, as everyone knows, went way down. And that's the number one driver for urban destination bookings on Airbnb and VRBO. So what does that mean? Well, I now know that if I want to invest in short-term rentals, me personally, that COVID-19 really changed the outlook of the SDR industry. And currently, we're looking at mountain and lake destinations as our main target acquisitions. But guess what? It's not always going to be like this. Business travel will come back. So what we like to do is diversify. So we don't just invest in one of these markets. We're investing in all of these markets. And that's how you hedge against various black swan events such as COVID-19. Going to design. This on the left is what this beach condo looked like before. Yes, I hear tons of long-term rental investors who take something like this over and they're like, you know what? It's renting. It's fine. Those words, it's fine, and no one has complained, are the top two phrases that I hate. Because just because it's fine does not mean it's going to be like this. This is one of the rentals where it was booking at around $100 a night in the before photo. In the after photo, it's averaging somewhere between $150 to $200 a night. So let me ask you this. If you are able to spend a couple thousand dollars upfront to turn the before into the after, and then afterwards, for the rest of the duration of you owning this property, you're getting an extra 10 to 15 grand more every single year net. Would you do it?
Yes.
Same with this one. Before, it looks like my grandma's couch. And then, after. And this is my first, this one was my first one bedroom, one bath beach condo, as you guys remember. For those who are on a budget, you're still able to take the course and learn how to do this before and after. Because guess what? The difference between the before and after is about $500 because this person did not have the money to completely buy new furnishings. So it's the same furniture. It's just different art, different layout, slightly different, obviously different lighting conditions, and a lot more white, light, and bright. This is the Austin 3-bedroom, 2.5 baths that we were talking about earlier, grossing $88,000 projected. when this was kept, it was a long-term rental. Ironically, this particular client, the tenant who was renting from him, was renting it out without his consent as a short-term rental already. This was a short-term rental, guys. It looks like a bachelor's pad. No offense to bachelors in the room. Here is what I helped him convert into this final product. You can see that we really didn't do much rehab to this property. We basically just gave it a fresh coat of paint. I kept all the lighting fixtures the same. And the difference is night and day. More examples. This is one of my ski condos. And by the way, this is good enough.
Okay.
On the before. It was already a short-term rental. Good enough. On the before. Good enough. More. So, I hope the take-home point is that get rid of the good enough mentality with long-term rental investing. Flexibility and lifestyle. So, as one of the examples, one of my friends, she has a lake house on Lake Travis near Austin, and she's only renting it out for 2 weekends a month, and that's at $500 plus a night. And she's posting all these photos on Facebook, I'm so jealous, of her living her best life on the lake the rest of that time. That could be you guys. You could actually own a lake house and you don't have to make any additional mortgage payments out of pocket. Have other people pay for your dream lake house and ski condo. Location independence. We already talked about this briefly, but what if you can get paid while you travel the world? Well, I did just that. This is during COVID. This is August 2020. So this obviously, yes, COVID-19, for those of you guys who thought COVID-19 basically killed short-term rentals, any of your friends, show them this slide. In 2020 of August, I grossed over about 30K combined between VRBO, Airbnb, and direct bookings. And I was working really hard? No. I was in Arizona, Utah, and Colorado living my best life while I was making that money in August 2020. These are all from August 2020. So, how do you acquire short-term rentals with just 10% down? Guess what? This is a secondary home writer. And you're able to tell your lender that you want to rent this out as a short-term rental, and you're still able to acquire this property with 10% down. And this is something that we go into detail in the seminar, but here you have it. This is a secondary home writer that we will talk more about specifically in the course. Finally, this is one of the many tools that you should have in your investor's toolbox. You can combine short-term rental investing strategies with all these other strategies over here, whether it's the BRRRR method, whether it's assumption or sub-2s, whether it's with flips. Keep in mind that there were some properties that I just held for about a year, and then I resold it. So in my mind, that's a long-term flip, except because I rented out for a year, I'm able to do a 1031 exchange on it. You can have condo conversions. This is something that we're doing with commercial real estate. So we're buying a multifamily, let's say a 10-plex. We're going to SCR, or short-term rent it, for a couple years. And then when that area is in now becoming an area where luxury condos are in demand, we're going to draft condo docs, and we're going to resell them one at a time. And then you can come, you, once you understand the basic principles of hospitality assets, you can then scale into outdoor hospitality such as RV parks and glamping destination. You can do hotels, motels, and multifamily short-term rentals and monthly rentals. So once again, this is one of my properties that is a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhouse. I'm getting $475 for three nights, a night, x3. And this is one of my townhouses that I bought for $255 acquisition price. I put 10% down. And in a year and a half, or 2 years, I resold it for $500K. So that once again illustrating that you can hold your property a little bit longer as a short-term rental, and then you can flip it. Now,
can I ask a question? So when you sell it, are you kind of showing them all, like, is part of your pitch when you sell it showing them the income potential, or is it more just a straight, like,
So, great question. So, she's asking, am I showing them what the income potential, am I selling this as a turnkey short-term rental? And the answer is yes, because I'm selling for above MLS, what MLS normally is indicating that I should sell this for, because the investors who are buying it, they're seeing it as buying a business. They're not just buying the real estate. I have the cleaners. I have the management company on site. I have everything turnkey, all furnitures included. And I show them, you know what? I'm selling this for $500K, but guess what? Last 12 months, I can show you actual Airbnb printouts that I made $97K on this property. Would you buy it? I am not, because I am not in the business of managing STRs, but you could totally do that.
Okay, it's just one more question. So are you, so when you do that, by, is it MLS, or are you like assigning interest in an LLC or something when you sell?
I am selling off market.
Okay. So you're assigning or just selling as real estate off market?
It's not an assignment. Okay. I owned it for over a year.
Okay.
So moving on, so if you have additional questions, please save them near the end. I will be in the back of the room to take whatever questions you have about STRs or STR multifamilies. And so we're going to go on to common arguments against short-term rentals and why they shouldn't be if you use the blueprint in the seminar. So once again, you guys, a lot of you guys talked about these issues. This is why a lot of you guys in the room sitting here today have not started in STR investing. But you guys are so close. Hopefully, after these slides, I can push you over to the dark side. Regulations. So the seminar, we'll talk more about regulatory loopholes, but guess what, guys? There's, even if the town has regulations, it does not mean every single neighborhood, every single type of dwelling, single family, duplex, multifamily, every single zoning, residential, commercial, and guess what? And there's certain little hot pockets that you can actually get STRs in, even if the town as a whole has STR regulations. And finally, for those of you guys where, you know what, I don't really want to figure this out, I don't want to read 500 pages of STR regulations, you can just invest in traditional vacation rental towns. They had vacation rentals before Airbnb and VRBO was a thing. They're not going to outlaw it just because Airbnb is now the new keyword. And finally, for a lot of towns that are regulating short-term rentals, In Austin, Texas, I have a house that I basically, because it was my primary for a long time, and I have my furniture that I really like. I don't want short-term rental guests to use it. I've turned it into monthly rental. Austin market, for those of you guys who know, it's very hot. It appreciated 43% in the last year. And no one can find a house. There was a house that had 92 offers. So guess what those buyers are doing? They give up and they rent something out quickly on Airbnb and VRBO. So they are paying a premium to stay in a nice house in a residential neighborhood rather than just staying in a hotel because they're moving here. They want to understand the neighborhood. They want to live somewhere in that neighborhood before they buy. So midterm rentals, I might get $3,000 a month as a long-term rental. I'm getting $5,000-$6,000 as a midterm rental. And guess what? The same concepts that you're learning for short-term rentals apply to midterm rentals as well. And the point, the reason that they're mentioned here is because a lot of SCR regulations do not apply to anything 30 days or more. Seasonality. A lot of you guys worried about this. I should have convinced you already that even if some people, there's a downward trend, as you can see, during certain months, overall, throughout the entire year, you're still making more money. But if that doesn't convince you yet, guess what? You can buy some beach condos or beach single families. I don't discriminate. I like money of all shapes and sizes. And you can buy some ski destination properties, and they should, in theory, offset each other in terms of seasonality. And guess what? They also offset each other in terms of risk. If you buy just like stocks, you don't want to buy the same sort of stocks over and over again. You want to diversify your portfolio. You should also be diversifying your SCR portfolio. Or your real estate portfolio. If you're having some long-term rentals, maybe you start diversify with some short-term rentals. And when I'm investing as SCRs, we go and invest in beach destinations, we invest in mountain destinations, and we invest in urban destinations. So we get money year-round. So diversify is the key here. For those of you guys who do not want guests to trash your place, in the seminar, we talk about all these cool technology that you can use to really, really, truly vet your guests. So you don't, one, you don't have trouble walking in your front door. So that's, there's a lot of vetting that you can do on the front end. But there's a lot of additional controls that you can have on the back end to make sure that they are not damaging your places. And also, Airbnb has a $1 million host insurance policy. So this is actually an insurance claim I claimed where the guests cracked the toilet and I was able to get an Airbnb payout to pay for the entire toilet replacement. Higher maintenance. Guess what? If you're paying someone else to do all the hard work for you for 20% of your gross rental income, and you're still netting 2-3x more than your long-term rental, would you do it?
Yeah.
Right? So if you hate all of this, you can still pay someone who knows the system, and you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to deal with the guest communications at all. But if you want to learn this system, we can also teach you. We can teach you how to hire your own cleaners, your own handyman, and keep that extra 20%. So it really depends on your personality. Are you the type who's bubbly, who's going to be endlessly patient, and is always going to have a smile on, even if the guest calls you about how to work the TV remote? If that is not you, this takes a lot of self reflection, guys. If that is not you, hand this off to someone else. if who here wants to get started with buying their very first short-term rental? And for those of you guys who have long-term rentals already, who here wants to convert your existing long-term rental into short-term rentals? Right now, we're actually converting a 10-unit from long-term rentals into short-term rentals as well. So this is someone, this is a, once again, a 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath house in Austin. Within week one of listing this on Airbnb, he got $22,000 in bookings.
Wow.
This is one of my other students. She already had short-term rentals, but she took one of my seminars, and she immediately acquired two more within the following 3 months. And Regine, she also already had Airbnbs. But she went from $1,800 to $2,000 a month in terms of bookings to $3,000 to $4,000 a month. And this is during COVID-19. So I did not follow up with her to see post-COVID-19, does she get even more than that? But just because you already have Airbnbs does not mean that you know all the tips and tricks to make more money on your existing investments. So once again, this is what you will learn, and way more than that, in the Investor Travel course that you can get more information on in the back of the room. You will not only be able to make more money on your existing properties, you will also get to travel to beautiful destinations to get paid to do that. You will get paid to own your dream beach house and ski rental. And you'll have fun doing it. Because guess what? I've traveled to over 20 mountain towns and over a dozen beach destinations in the last 12 months alone. Those are, almost all of those are business trips. Hard life, right? So this is a course that you get. This is not anywhere on my site. This is something you can only get here. You get not only a 2-hour group setting to Q&A over Zoom, there's two separate sessions for this, for those of you guys who have additional questions after watching the course, and then a private 45-minute one-on-one consultation. This is included. So if you are already thinking about a particular short-term rental, if you already have a long-term rental you want to convert, if you're interested in scaling into short-term rental multifamilies or you want to buy a hotel, this is a time for you to get that unique one-on-one consultation. So ways to get it, back of the room, and feel free to come back to the back of the room to ask questions too. It's not just about the course. And then I will also be, if you see me anywhere during the conference or away from the conference, you can flag me down this weekend to talk more about the course. But I will try to be there at the bookstore during all of the remaining hours of the conference. And then you can also get this at online at the convention's website at this link. So with that said, I hope you guys learned a lot. I hope that I have convinced you guys to get into the dark side of real estate investing with short-term rentals. And meet me in the back of the room.